Roy's boss. Roy had agreed to the arrangement when Katzenberg was hired, and he intended to honor it. In the end, there wasn't much that could be done with the Black Cauldron, though it was postponed until the following summer for some rewriting and editing. Despite Katzenberg's insistence, Hale was more right than wrong about editing animated films. Katzenberg managed to cut just a few minutes, and by his own admission, could only make it slightly less bad. Roy received a film credit for additional dialogue. Still, when Roy appeared on The Today Show to promote the opening, he drew a blank when the host asked, "What's The Black Cauldron about?" He still wasn't sure. The film grossed almost $22 million, but far less than it had cost to make. Even more discouraging to the animators was the fact that the Care Bears movie, based on the American Greetings teddy bears, was made using cheap foreign labor for just $2 million, but grossed more than Black Cauldron at the box office. Joe Hale was already at work on his next project, Mistress Masham's Repose, a sequel to Gulliver's Travels, in which the Lilliputians come to England and live on a country estate. Roy thought the idea had charm, but when Hale described it, Katzenberg said simply, "I hate it." After the Black Cauldron episode, Roy wasn't surprised. Hale was fired shortly after, along with most of the Black Cauldron team. Mistress Masham languished. More cutbacks were in the offing. Katzenberg asked Roy for a list of people he wanted to save. After the layoffs and the fiasco of The Black Cauldron, Roy felt he was fighting for the future of animation, which he still believed had the potential to once again be the heart of the company. At about the same time as the disastrous screening of Black Cauldron, Roy invited Eisner, Wells, and Katzenberg to a viewing of storyboards for a new project called Basil of Baker Street. While most of the animators had been painstakingly toiling on Black Cauldron, two dissident animators who had been cut from the Cauldron team, Ron Clements and John Musker, both former altar boys from the Midwest, had been developing a story based on a book about mice living under Sherlock Holmes's London flat. They'd used Ron Miller as the model for the villain, Professor Radigan, big, hulking, handsome, and personable. And Miller had been the film's producer until he was abruptly dismissed. Clements, bearded and red-headed, and Musker, tall and more talkative, set up nearly 50 storyboards that snaked through the corridor and in and out of rooms in the old animation building. Unlike live-action features, Disney's animated films had rarely started with scripts. Storyboards had scores of cartoon-like drawings that mapped out the story, and dialogue was added later by the animators as they drew. Eisner especially seemed puzzled by this. "We should begin with a script, just like with our other movies," he insisted. As they wandered along the storyboards, neither Roy nor the animators could figure out if the executives were really following the story. Eisner startled them at one point by wondering aloud whether a song in a bar that had already been scored by composer Henry Mancini could be turned over to pop star Michael Jackson. Clements and Musker froze, their dismay evident. Finally, Eisner said, "Part of your job is to talk me out of bad ideas." Eisner found Basil cute but confusing. He liked the Sherlock Holmes angle. He'd produced the young Sherlock Holmes while at Paramount. But he thought it lacked dramatic structure, the traditional three-act beginning, middle, and end that had served him so well.